afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for July 8th, 2022. It is Friday, TGIF, Butch.
Yes, it is. It really is. And as you said, it is July, so here we go. Another month started and already a week into it. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Absolutely.
Christmas in July.
Well, hey, that's already on TV. I mean, I've seen that.
I know. That's
ridiculous. Ridiculous, but it's already on TV. But anyway, what can I say? I hope you've had a good couple days.
Yes, it's really difficult working today because it's absolutely beautiful outside.
Yes, it is.
Just perfect. And but somebody has to work, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Everybody else takes off, but
you're important as you are, you can't do that much.
I know.
You know, I mean, you're a public figure.
I am.
That's right. Everybody knows you. I mean, around the world, they know who Melody Cederstrom
is.
I get calls. Yeah, people call me.
It's been a long time since we had calls from someplace outside of the country. I mean, we always have Canadian calls, and we love our Canadian neighbors, but I haven't. We probably should maybe begin requesting those folks who listen outside of the country to start giving us some updates on. I saw, was it in the Netherlands today? The farmers are pretty much going on strike. I mean, it is some nasty things that they're trying to do over there. They're trying to eliminate the farming over there, all due to climate change.
That's right. And the farmers bought a tank to the protest, a real tank to the protest.
And you don't hear any of that being on
this
was actually on Fox News. And so I was a little even surprised to see it there. But I'll tell you what, this morning when the news was coming out about the Japan ex-prime minister Abe, nobody was talking about it. I have to actually say it was CNN that was actually breaking the story. And it took about a half hour before some of the other news stations had actually picked up on it. So that's just... such lousy news reporters on these stations and so forth. But
they are. And by the way, I didn't know this. I reported this on the program Wednesday. Netherlands is the second largest food producer in the world. I did not know that. Next to
after the U.S. Yeah,
I did not know that. I had no idea. So that's huge. I mean, talk about direct hit in the breadbasket for the world. Gee, that's huge.
And then you look at what's happening in Ukraine. They're the biggest for the. Was it wheat?
Yeah, yep. I think I see a pattern here, Melody, of over 100 of our food facilities burnt or blown up over the last year and a half, and as also other places in the world, same thing's happening. I'm beginning to think I'm seeing a pattern here. Is it really possible they could try to push into the Great Reset? And a month after Klaus Schwab mentioned Great Reset, the Rockefeller Foundation come out with call it Reset the Table. You think that's a coincidence?
There is no such thing as a coincidence.
No, there isn't. So I think it's kind of odd that after Schwab mentioned the Great Reset, Rockefeller Foundation came out with the Reset the Table. I think it's kind of odd, and I think they got a plan for us. I really do. I truly do. But anyway, you go ahead.
Well, the scary thing is they always have those plans that we really don't know about. And those are the most frightening ones.
Mm-hmm. That's
you know,
true.
We pretty much, but you know, they got more in store for us, should I say? But anyway, today before we hit the medals, let me see if I can find it here. Oh, I got so many screens up on my computer. Well, we know that the job report came out today. Job growth was up much higher than what these pundits had expected for June. as it was reported today by our good old government, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, the U6 unemployment rate that includes discouraged workers and those holding part-time jobs for economic reasons dropped to 6.7 from 7.1. But the underreported U3 headline rate remained unchanged at 3.6. And the non-farm payrolls increased by 372,000 over the month, which was way, way stronger than what all the economists' consensus estimate was of 250,000. Civilian labor force participation was essentially flat, falling to 62.2 from 62.3, but it still remains more than a full percentage point below the level that was seen just before 2020. The average hourly earnings increased a little bit for the month. They were up 5.1% for a year ago. However, I think we all know inflation is more than 5.1%. The long-term unemployed accounted for 22.6% of all unemployed persons in June. Interestingly, though, 7.1% of employed Americans teleworked. Again, those are from home. 2.1 million people reported that they'd been unable to work because their employer closed or they were laid off thanks to the pandemic, which was up from 1.8 million in May. You know, and what do all these numbers mean? You know, it's just like, well, supposedly it suggests that the foundation of the economy remains strong despite, you know, the various pockets of weakness. Even old Biden came on the television today to say, what we're doing is working. We have a strong economy. And my question is, you say what you're doing is working, but what are you doing? I don't know anything that they're doing. You know, they're taking trying to fight inflation by taking oil from the strategic petroleum reserves only to sell it overseas.
Yep.
To take some of it overseas, even to China. I mean, it's just like, but nobody talks about that. Very few do. And it's just really, truly amazing. But, you know, these are fluff numbers. It's for the, you know, for the election. And, but there's a lot of decisions made on these numbers also. So let's go ahead and take a peek at gold today.
Well, I had one thing, Melody. One thing, it looks like the Fed may be raising the hikes by three-quarter, raise the Fed, the point rate by three-quarter point because the numbers were so good.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. So we're overheating still, and they want to raise it again another three-quarter point. So we will see. It's interesting.
I mean, it is. And I mean, but it's you know, if they really do, they're just, you know, it's just such a joke anymore. And
it's
sad.
It is.
Because so many people's lives, things that they've worked so hard for all their lives, is just going to go up in smoke. They might not lose it all, but they're going to lose a big portion of it. And that way the government will be able to roll out their little programs and say, well, you know what? We're going to keep this from happening again. So you never have to worry about outliving your money. So let us control it for you. And we'll guarantee you this amount every month. And you'll never have to worry about outliving your money or for all these markets crashes and so forth. So we're here to help. And when you lose 50-60% of your money, you know, some sort of a promise like that actually seems kind of good.
It does sound good.
And a lot of people will fall for it. And a lot of people will go for it. And then they're going to be even more of a slave and have lost
a little bit more
of their freedoms.
Right on the money. I mean, we fell for Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, HUD, everything else. Why not fall for this?
Yeah. Absolutely. There'll be new programs reintroduced, and things will be changed, things will be rewritten, and it'll be sort of like a... Anyway, but I think we all know that story. Gold today, we had a high of 1,754. We're currently at 1,743, so we still managed to stay up $2 on the day. Silver, same type of thing right now. We're at $19.40. Platinum was up $16 at $901. Palladium was up 162 at 2,246. And right before the program today, I got a I got a note from my buyer telling us that the U.S. Mint is beginning to slow down productions on the 1 ounce and the fractional pieces gold eagles. So the premiums were pumped up a little bit more. So we're still looking like we're still live and there's no delays, but I would think delays on the 1 ounce American gold eagles would be coming shortly. So right now we're live and on that, so no delays for deliveries. But the premium has gone up. Even silver eagles this week, I've seen the premium jump 75 cents.
Wow.
And actually, in a week, I've seen the premium jump up about 0.75 cents on the gold eagles and a little bit on the buffaloes. The buffaloes are still, but there's other products out there that you can purchase. And it does seem, again, like everything is still live, so no delays as yet. USDX today was down just a tad at 106.97, so it broke back down through that 107. Crude oil was up $2 at 104.68. Paper markets today, you know, NASDAQ was higher for the fifth straight day after the strong jobs report. It was up a whole 14 points. Woohoo! 11,635. The Dow was down 46 points. 31,338. The S&P was down 3,899. Everybody will be back from their holiday next week, so it'll kind of see. So we'll kind of see what next week holds for all of these markets. And foreign markets, Asia was mixed. Europe was positive. 10-year yield, 3.08%, so it's back up over 3. And I think that was kind of, the early morning news was, as I mentioned, the Japan's former PM, Shinzo Abe, was assassinated at a campaign event. He was attacked while delivering a speech. And, everybody thought he was actually he was 67 years old, the country's longest serving prime minister. And, but, he stepped back. Right before the pandemic or in the very beginning. And when he got into office, which everybody claims everything that he's done for Japan, but you know what? He promised they would do whatever they had to do. They would print whatever they had to print in order help the economy, and it didn't do anything for their economy. They were still struggling. Now they said he resigned because he had health reasons. I think it was more because he wouldn't have been able to hold the election as the elections were coming up, and maybe it was a combination of both. But he receives high praises for everyone, but he wanted to build up the military so they could fight China. And so anyway, that was kind of it for a lot of the big news today. There's a lot of headlines out there, though. It's kind of interesting. I know you have California deepens water cuts to cope with the drought. I don't know if you have that on your scope today,
Butch.
No, I don't have that one.
I don't have that one. No, I don't.
Yeah,
I covered that Wednesday somewhat, though. I did, yes.
And that's hitting thousands of homes.
Sure it is. And farms.
Farms. I meant to say farms.
Yeah.
And that means food. China's holding military exercises around Taiwan. And China demands end to the U.S.-Taiwan military collusion. We see China and Russia showing a strong resilience in their relationship. And these little tidbits of headlines is things that are happening and impacts us without too many people paying much attention to it. Farmers feel heat as northern Italy suffers the worst drought in decades.
Yes.
Amazing.
And it will cover the war situation. We got a few minutes left. I'll just make a comment here too on that when I find it. For the first time in history, here it is. China, Russia, and Iran prepare for war games in Latin America. Hey, we've done our border for a lot of years. Now it's our turn, folks. Russia bring military games to Western Hemisphere for the first time. Now, of course, Maduro is the head of Venezuela, and he hates the U.S. for a lot of reasons, a lot of good reasons. But they're going to be working under his leadership in these war games. So China and Russia and Iran are coming to our hemisphere to practice war games like we've done on theirs for many, many years. And Putin challenges the West to fight on the battlefield. Let's let them try. In more than 4 months in invasion of Ukraine, Russian President Vladimir Putin bragged Thursday that the conflict had only just begun, and he challenged Western countries supporting Ukraine to try to fight Russia on the battlefield. In televised remarks to paramilitary leaders, Putin pushed back on the idea that Russia has let the invasion drag on for too long, saying it hasn't even really started anything yet. He said negotiating peace is getting more and more difficult, then focused his ire on Western countries that have imposed wide-ranging sanctions on Russia while offering support and resources to Ukraine. We hear today that they want us to be defeated on the battlefield, Putin said, according to state media outlet RIA Novosti. Well, what can I say? Let him try. He said, we have heard many times the West wants to fight us to the last Ukrainian. This is a tragedy for the Ukrainian people, but it seems that everything is heading toward this. The governor of Ukraine, Luhansk region, which is now almost completely under Russian control, said Friday that the city of Severodonetsk is facing humanitarian disaster. Critical infrastructure, including the sewage system, has been badly damaged by months of fighting, and there is no centralized water, gas, electricity supply. He said 80% of the homes and cities have been damaged. Folks, that's the cost of war. Well, that's the cost of war. War is nothing to be feel glorified about. That's the cost of war. War is a last desperate ditch to try to do what you're going to do. It's the last thing you want to do. And after the break, we'll have enough time to go through this now. Putin advisor threatened to claim back Alaska, Melody. So we'll get more of that in a minute. But that's where we're headed. You mentioned China around Taiwan. Well, we have, for the first time in history, Russia and China and Iran in our hemisphere practicing war games. What do you think about that?
Well, it's kind of interesting that, it's amazing that Putin has the ability to do that while he's in the middle of a war. I find that kind of interesting.
Well, right? It's amazing that he's pushing back.
Yeah. Well, he made a statement. He says, they barely started the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, that's right. I just
barely
said, yeah.
Started.
Yep.
So, I don't know. There's more to come. It could be all speak. They have just as much propaganda as we have. So who knows? All we know is usually nothing good comes of all of this.
It keeps heating up.
And what's heating up is our heading into our break time. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter and blog, B-L-O-G. And I have to correct myself. There are extra premiums in that. Butch, for the 50-cent pieces, so I would actually have to call. But that's the regular dimes and quarters that I quoted you. So the 50 cents.
Okay.
But I can't imagine that would be that much more to make up that difference. You know, that's
I'm just curious, because most generally what I see advertised other places is a lot higher than your prices.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's true. Folks, I'm not just saying that. I do check it out. I do. I'm not a wealthy man, but your prices are always in line and usually a little better than everybody else's.
But the thing of it is also my prices include support for other programs, and these other places don't do that. So they make more, they have more going into their pockets, and they don't put anything back into what you should. They don't give anything back.
You also have a more personal touch because you talk to the people individually as the head of the company, not some broker somewhere. You talk to them personally.
I do. Mm-hmm.
That is a big plus. But Putin advisor threatens to claim back Alaska. And the folks, I'm making this stuff up. And I'm not even laughing because it's funny. It's a little bit scary. One of Vladimir Putin's top advisors warned the U.S. that Russia may try to take back Alaska in response to U.S. sanctions for the invasion of Ukraine. Speaker of the State Duma, Vyacheslav Volodin, warned that when U.S. lawmakers attempt to appropriate our assets abroad, they should be aware that we also have something to claim back in the Monday session of the lower house of the Russian Federal Assembly, according to the Washington Examiner. The United States purchased Russia from Russia in 1867 for $7.2 million. Volodin's threat comes after the United States has cooperated with NATO allies to enforce international sanctions against Russian oligarchs. Volodin's deputy Pyotr Tulski argued that Russia should hold a referendum in Alaska, according to the Washington Examiner. And I don't know what they mean, referendum in Alaska. I'm not sure what they mean by that. But anyway, Dmitry Medvedev, deputy secretary general of the Russian Security Council, warned on Wednesday that the U.S. would face the wrath of God that attempted to establish an international tribunal to investigate Russian war crimes, according to Anchorage Daily News. Medvedev previously served as president of Russia from 2008 to 2012 and has remained one of Putin's top aides. The U.S. and his useless stooges should remember the words of the Bible, "Do not judge and you will not be judged," so that the day of his wrath doesn't come to their home one day, Medvedev said. Medvedev recounted the bloody history of the United States and the lengthy thread on Telegram citing the subjugation of native populations, atomic bombing Japan during World War II, and the others, folks, we can mention but we're not. So Russia saying, you don't want to face the wrath of God. You keep this up, we'll just take Alaska back. Now, and that's, you say that's empty threat. I don't know, but they're saying it. That's pretty bold. Wouldn't you agree, Melody?
Yeah, it is. And it's, I mean, I can't imagine how that would happen, but.
I don't know either, but that's, I thought it was really bold they'll come out and say that, and right, you know, for the world to hear that we'll take Alaska back. I'm just trying to let that sink in. You know, I can remember when
Alaska
became a state.
Well, they are just over. What was her name from Alaska?
Sarah Palin.
Didn't she say she can see Alaska, Russia from her backyard?
Yes, that's what she said. That's what she said. And on the way, some good news. Supreme Court actually made another good decision again, Melody. I mean, this is going to be a kind of a surprisingly good habit. The Supreme Court ruled the government can't require citizens to prove the need for self-protection in order to carry a gun. By a 6-3 decision, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, the Supreme Court struck down a New York law which allowed government officials to pick and choose which class of citizens were deemed worthy of self-protection. This is what they come up with. When considered in the context of prohibitions against the government, the Second Amendment reads as a clear rebuke against any attempt to restrict the citizenry's gun ownership. As such, it is as necessary an ingredient for maintaining the tenuous balance between the citizenry and the public as any of the other amendments in the Bill of Rights, especially the right to freedom of speech, assembly and press, petition, security, and due process, said Constitutional Attorney John W. Whitehead. So he made a good statement on that. Affirming the Second Amendment, the Supreme Court said right to bear arms in public for self-defense is not a second-class right. The court ruled that individuals do not have to demonstrate some special need to the government for approval before exercising any constitutional rights. That's pretty straightforward. That's pretty good. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, wow. That makes about four in a row. Basically, they made a bad one or two in the meantime, but that's pretty good rulings in the last couple, 3 weeks. And it kind of took me by surprise, to tell you the truth. But what can you say? Any comments on that?
Well, yeah. I just wonder what the Biden administration is going to do so they can, like they've done to the abortions. They ignore the Supreme Court and, you know, sign his own little executive order to reroute various funds and so forth. So, you know, and it's like really, truly incredible that you have the President of the United States totally disregard and ignored what the Supreme Court says. He should be impeached for that.
I agree.
Alone. This is the law of the land. This is, and I mean, you can take them to court if you want to go back and fight it and so forth, you know, do that. But to write executive orders to bypass in any way that you can from what's coming down, from what we're supposed to hold in high regard, and it could be either side. I'm talking about whatever the, you know, we're, whether we like it or not. Right, Butch?
That's right. I totally agree. Now, if the ruling went the other way, they expect us to follow right to the letter, wouldn't they?
Absolutely, just like they had to do when they eliminated and changed the definition of marriage between a man and a woman. We had to accept that, right?
That's,
you know,
right.
When the White House was lit up in the rainbow
colors. Oh my gosh!
You know,
yes, I remember that.
But the problem with that was, I think it was more that the Supreme Court, what was wrong there? They actually wrote the law, or, you know, it was
which
different.
Is not in their,
it's not their job.
That's not their authority,
right?
At all,
right?
And on the other hand, too, maybe some good news here. I'll share very quickly. Abbott and DeSantis both are maybe making a bid for the White House, and this is out of Reuters. Florida Governor Ryan DeSantis, a rising Republican star, has been careful not to nurture growing speculation that he will make a presidential bid in 2024. He has brushed off questions about his political ambitions, while the party's presumptive front-runner, Donald Trump, repeatedly hints he will run again. But there are signs that DeSantis could be preparing for a White House run, even as he campaigns another term as governor in November's midterm elections. And I said the Reuters announcement is DeSantis' social media ads show he has dramatically expanded his out-of-state ads in recent months. An indicator, say some political analysts, that he may be laying the groundwork for a national campaign. In the first 3 months of this year, political ads sent through DeSantis' Facebook and Instagram pages were overwhelmingly concentrated in Florida, as one would expect from a man running for office in the state. But by April and June period, they were spread roughly evenly between Florida and the rest of the country, according to Reuters. So we'll see. Maybe he is running for president. I don't know. And Abbott tests feds by urging Texas troopers to return. That's not what the one I don't think. But anyway, oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. He is not only pushing back hard against the feds and their immigration, he's considering using this as a foundation to kick off a presidential, maybe a bid for president. But he is doing some things on the border that are saying are unconstitutional, but it makes no difference that he's doing it because it has to be done. Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered state and National Guard soldiers and law enforcement officers Thursday to apprehend and return migrants suspected crossing legally back to the U.S. Mexico border, testing how far his state can go in trying to enforce immigration law, a federal responsibility. My question is, Mel, if you take them back to the border, will the disarray come back again?
Oh, yeah, I don't know what that really accomplishes, except a lot of spending that doesn't solve anything.
But the order comes days after a group of right-wing Texas officials.
The problem is, why can't they? I don't know. You know, unfortunately, they just can't arrest them.
No, and if they do arrest them, what are they going to do with them? Mm-hmm. They got to feed them. And take care of them.
They're wasting money driving them back to the border.
They
are.
I have opinions on that, but my opinion wouldn't go very far. But I think that if they're going to arrest them, they should put them to work building roads and take care of infrastructure.
Absolutely.
They're going to feed them. Why not do that?
They come here to work, so put them to work.
Put them to work. Let them go to work. And, you know, I mean, they're getting housing and clothing and food.
Yep.
So what? Don't let them work for it. That'd be no problem at all. I think that'd be a way to stop a lot of them because they don't want to do that way. They won't come and get free driver's license, free Social Security cards, and live off us. He says the order comes days after a group of right-wing Texas officials, alongside a few former Trump administration leaders and U.S. Representative Chip Roy in Texas, asked the Republican government to invoke the state and U.S. Constitution declaring an invasion at the southwest border and to use his powers to repel it. The leaders of the sparsely populated counties near the border with Mexico complained that they have been overrun by smuggling attempts and increasing numbers of migrants invading detection. So this probably will go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court before it's finally settled whether they have the constitutional ability to do this or not legally. So we will see. I don't know. But in my mind, as I said, if they won't come across the border to work, pick them up when they cross the border. If they come across illegally, put them in a gang in a prison somewhere and put them in what he's called chain gangs. Mm-hmm. Don't have to miss out the word chains, but put them out rebuilding the infrastructure. Let them build the roads. Keep the roads mowed. They got give them work. Maybe after that 2 or 3 years, they might want to try it over again and do it the right way. That's just my opinion, Melody, but I think my opinion in this case holds water, don't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, and some of them do come over and work very hard.
If they do it legally.
But they need. But most of them, the ones that even do work hard, aren't here legally.
That's the point.
Yeah, exactly. They're
still lawbreakers. I mean, if we went to Mexico, if we turned tables, went to Mexico, would you think they would just haul us back to the border and say, please go home?
Well,
I think we'd be eating sewage somewhere in a prison somewhere.
In a prison somewhere.
Exactly.
If we made it to the border.
We made to the border. And speaking of eating, I think you'll find this interesting. The corporate media getting involved in this, insist eating insects is really delicious. The World Economic Forum has for years promoted the idea that healthy diets and sustainable foods such as insects should be introduced into global food systems to save the planet. These self-proclaimed designers of the future are calling for a reset of the food system. As I said, folks, that's what the Rockefeller Foundation said. They want the great table reset, or the reset of the table. So the reset of the table. Anyway, they need to reset the food system to lessen the environmental impact of current food production and solve world hunger. They're trying to convince people to eat bugs. Now, I'm not saying that they're not good. I don't know. You try them if you want to. The latest sign insect farming is about to take off, and is a South African chemical engineer by the name of Wendy Valisa found ways to transform spiky green and black caterpillars. This sounds so good, Melody. Spiky green and black caterpillars into flour that can be used in biscuits, sweet chocolate protein bars, cereals, or smoothies. Doesn't that sound delicious? Spiky green and black caterpillars. Wow.
I've had grasshoppers before.
Yeah, I've seen those. I'm not saying they're not good, but they just, I mean, since the edible bugs and worms are a healthier protein option, she said people are hesitant to eat insects, but ground up and packaged into a protein bar or other foods, people find it very delicious. Now, I'm not saying it's not a good option. And I'm not saying someday we might not be so desperate we'd be glad to get a bug the way things are going. I don't know that. But it's just something that is being forced on us, not because we want to do it. It's being forced on us. And I'm not against forcing people to do these things, not in the way, but especially the way they do it now, by undermining our own food systems. That's what they're doing to destroy your own cultures, their own food supply systems. So they'll make us eat bugs. That may come to that. It may really come to that. Mm-hmm. And Western Europe on suicide watch as food energy collapses. Gets worse by the day. How many will starve or freeze this coming winter? Now, folks, I'm not, these are all headings that are really happening. Western Europe is on suicide watch as virtue signaling nations tore down their fossil fuel infrastructure and nuclear power plants to appease the greenies. Now, countries like Germany, France, and UK are facing an energy catastrophe as Russia steadily reduces natural gas outflows from pipelines like Nord Stream 1, which is also scheduled to be taken offline just 5 days for routine maintenance. Many European nations are worried that the Nord Stream won't be turned back on, believing Russia will find an excuse to keep the pipeline offline for an extended period of time. This would be catastrophic for nations like Germany, which depend on heavily on Russian gas to generate electricity and power of the domestic industry. Some fear that the Kremlin could use planned maintenance to work to turn off the taps for good. If it doesn't come back after maintenance because President Putin says plays games or wants it to head to Europe while it hurts, then the plan to fill up gas storage by the end of summer will probably not work, said Eurasia Group's Henning Gloisten. Eurasia Group said that if Putin orchestrated a total cutoff of gas supplies beyond the scheduled end of the maintenance works on the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, in what Gloisten described as a maximum economic warfare scenario, Germany would likely be forced to move to level 3 of its 3-stage energy gas plan. And why wouldn't Russia cut off energy supplies to Europe when Europe is sending weapons to Ukraine to kill Russian people, Russian soldiers? Why do European leaders think they can wage economic and kinetic warfare against Russia, but demand that Russia avoid carrying out economic warfare against Europe? Europe seems to be saying, we will kill you, Russia, but please sell us your gas while we keep killing you. Very well put.
Yes, the world is insane, is it not?
It is insane. It truly is insane. But if they don't have natural the gas over there, they will have a hard time feeding the people this fall and this winter, and no heat. It could get nasty. Another push maybe for global warfare. We will see. It certainly looks like it to me.
Well, we're just about ready to head into a break. We'll be coming back here in just a few short minutes. And please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. What do you have for us next, Butch?
Well, we talked about Argentina before, and Argentina has had another problem. And folks, please don't look this and shrug and say, well, that's Argentina, South America. What? That is going to be us. It's already us to a certain point. They keep saying inflation is 5, 6%, even 8%. That's a lie. That is totally a lie. But this is going to be us. And if they ever get the BRICS nations put together to start their own reserve currency, it'll be us overnight. Overnight, 20% price jump supercharges Argentine inflation crisis. It's out of Bloomberg. On Sunday morning, Argentines woke up early and rushed to this grocery store, the bakery, the liquor store, the mall, wherever they could go to stock up fast. The night before, a political bombshell had dropped. The economy minister, Martin Guzman, had suddenly resigned. And Argentines, long accustomed to financial chaos, knew the current crisis was about to get a lot worse. So before the peso could plunge when markets reopened, before retailers could jack up prices, they wanted to buy the essentials as soon as possible. It became a race against inflation in a country that already had one of the highest rates anywhere, an annual 60% as of May. Argentina's parallel exchange rate, untethered from the government's strict currency controls, has fallen 17% so far this week, prompting Buenos Aires shop owners to post signs announcing a 20% markup on all listed prices. So without changing prices in each item, they don't have time. They just put a sign in the door and said, hey, everything is 20% higher than what the tag says.
Wow.
That could happen here, folks. It will happen here eventually. It will. As long as we have fiat currency, it's a guarantee. Price on mattresses and bicycles jumped 18% in just 1 week, while TVs now cost 13% more and price tags on cell phones swelled 8%, according to high-frequency data analyzed by Buenos Aires-based consulting firm EcoLatina. Nobody has a strategy. We're just living in the moment. Maximilio Martinez, manager of a small appliance store on a commercial strip in Buenos Aires, said Thursday afternoon. Like others, Martinez raised prices on all items in his store, coffee machines, toasters, blenders, headphones, by 20%. He says suppliers immediately jacked up their prices by 35%. Now, think about that. He raised his price 20% and his suppliers raised it immediately for 35% more. Oh. He's looking to buy digital price tags, he said, because it's becoming difficult to keep up with constantly rising prices. I can't get around to changing all the price tags. That's coming here. I know we shrug it off and think it can't happen here, but folks, it's going to be here. He raises prices 20%, supplier raising 35%. That means he's got to raise his again by another 20% or another 35% at least to break even, I mean. So that's 55% Melody, in 1 day, is it not?
It is. Wow. It's a lot.
So I don't know why we shrug these off and think it can't happen. I know we've been spoiled for so long. We've been so unappreciating what we have for so long. I'm guilty. We all take for granted. We all have. All my life, I've always had something to eat. So, and a place to sleep. But that's not guaranteed anybody, folks. Especially in a nation that has a fiat currency that drops every day in value. What used to be the reserve currency for the world, which is, and that's losing that value also very quickly. When this goes away, we're going to suffer just as much as Argentinians and Venezuelans ever did. If you don't prepare yourself now, you're going to be sorry you didn't later. And I can't tell everybody, Melody, I can't say, well, go to and raise a garden. Some people can't raise a garden. They don't live where they can. I can't tell them to go out and, you know, buy generators. I can't afford that myself. I can't tell you about night vision to protect your home. I can't afford that either. So these are things folks, we don't say that. We're saying stock up on food, get a good water filter, and call Melody to buy something substantial that you can trade and swap around that's still valuable, like gold and silver. You can swap food. You can even maybe trade a fresh gallon of water for something, but gold and silver is always valued. These are things that are sustainable. These are things that you can feel in that are in your hand. They're worth something. They're not a piece of paper or a computer program somewhere. These are for real things. Call and check on that. Army cuts off more than 60,000 unvaccinated Guard and Reserve soldiers from pay and benefits. Wow. Some 40,000 National Guard and 22,000 Reserve soldiers who refused to be vaccinated against COVID-19 are no longer allowed to participate in the military's duties, also effectively cutting them off from some of the military benefits, Army officials announced Friday. Soldiers who refuse the vaccination order without an approved or pending exemption request are subject to adverse administration actions, including flags, bars to service, and official reprimands and treatment. The move comes in the midst of an annual training session during which part-time soldiers are then ordered to serve from 2 weeks to a month with their units for summer training exercises. These training events are usually critical for soldiers to sharpen their military skills and for the unit commanders to ensure their formations are ready to deploy if needed. The soldiers continue to refuse to vaccinate. The consequences could be even more dire. In the future, soldiers who continue to refuse to be vaccinated they refuse the order without an exemption, may be subject to additional adverse administrative action, including separation, the Army spokesperson said. Well, folks, we told you COVID wasn't over. It wasn't over. It's not over. And it's going to get much worse. I do believe as time goes on this fall, we're going to see more than we ever thought. I think this could maybe be worse than the last event. We'll see. We will see. But we have men who are earning a living as a National Guard or Reserve soldiers are making money at this, and the benefits that they're needed, they got to make a choice. And it looks like 60,000 of them did. Any comments, Melody?
Now, you know, on the one site that I go to, when you talk about, you know, the COVID and stuff, they show from a year ago what the cases were, a seven-day average. Excuse me, and what it is today, and it is quite a jump. So yeah, it's, you have it spot on.
Well, I mean, I do research what I report on.
A year ago it was 22,000 in the USA. Today it's 107,000. That's a big jump.
So,
and I think less people are testing and so forth. So, and the deaths were the same.
They are. Yeah. But, you know, the CDC said the test doesn't work. It's not accurate.
I know.
And help prove that, my niece had my granddaughter was tested 5 times and finally was tested positive after five times.
I've heard somebody else tell me that, too.
So they're not accurate. Yeah. You can't trust them.
Nope.
And you've already covered the Joe caught selling U.S. oil reserves, a dirty deal with Hunter.
Yes.
But even worse than that, Biden regime blocks new Atlantic and Pacific oil drilling operations, which will send fuel prices even higher. This man is out to destroy the country. Not necessarily him, his handlers. There will be no more new oil drilling operations allowed in either the Pacific or Atlantic Oceans, thanks to a new effort by the Biden administration to shut down pretty much all fossil fuel production in the United States. Even as energy shortages loom and prices skyrocket, the fake President Joe Biden unveiled a plan that proposes no more than 10 potential lease sales in the Gulf of Mexico, no one potential option for a lease sale in the northern portion of the Cook Inlet of Alaska. No new lease sales were outlined for Atlantic Pacific planning areas during 2023 through 2028 period. 5-year period, folks, covered in this proposal. While the plan itself is not a final determination of which sales would ultimately be approved, there's a chance that no more lease sales will be allowed anywhere. It does automatically prohibit them in both Pacific and Atlantic Oceans and to at least 2028. Wow, Melody, what do you think about that?
You know, it really isn't. You know, it's just amazing. There's no leases for drilling, but yet they putting up all these windmills and offshore.
Yeah.
I mean, and what? That's not going to destroy the life. They just don't even make sense on what they do. The vibrations that come in you don't think that's going to change anything offshore with the fish and it's
causing whales to beat themselves. Because their sonar, they can't find directions. They're beaching themselves, folks. This is a more dangerous problem than anything we would call a fossil fuel. And they don't do it. They can't produce enough to make the difference. And to prove this point, California to pivot to fossil fuels to avoid blackouts. Yeah, they went green, boys. They went green. In May, the Wall Street Journal reported the energy grid operators across the U.S. were about bracing for rolling blackouts heading in the summer. I'm concerned about it, MISO CEO John Baer. John Baer told a newspaper, noting that green energy sources are struggling to produce enough supply to meet rising demand. As we move forward, we need to know that when you put a solar panel and wind turbine up, it's not the same as a thermal resource. And folks, he's right on. It's not even close. Nearly 2 months later, it's clear that grid operators were not crying wolf. On Friday, the Associated Press reported that California, a state desperately trying to quit fossil fuels, is seeking to tap fossil fuels to avoid blackouts. A sweeping energy proposal Governor Gavin Newsom signed Thursday puts the state in the business of buying power to ensure there's enough to go around during heat waves that strain the grid. But some critics say the method of getting there is at odds with the state's border or broader climate goals because it paves the way for the state to tap aging gas-fired power plants and back up generators fueled by diesel. That's because they can't do it in green. That won't work. I don't know how much simpler I can make that, Mel. That's about as clear as I can put it.
That's pretty clear.
You know, I don't know what else to say. And running out of time so quickly. I think I'll try to squeeze in the good news, if you don't mind. We got a couple minutes left here. Would that be all right with you?
Sure do. Almost five minutes, yeah.
Let's do that. Somebody, I'll just say this very quickly. Justice Kavanaugh was eating dinner in D.C. at a steakhouse.
I saw that.
Yeah, he saw that. The Morton Steakhouse, and he was chased out by pro-murder people. And actually, so were other customers. This is what's happening to America today. And the last abortion clinic in Mississippi closed today. It was a center where a lot of this started. Jackson's Women's Health Center was one of the places where the abortion movement started. It closed today. Praise God for that. Anyway, we'll move on here. Lenny Ford was in the worst pain of her life when she arrived at her local pharmacy but was unable to purchase her prescribed medication. Luckily, a kind-hearted employee was working at the cash register. I was in literally the worst pain. I could not form a thought, Lenny from Santa Barbara told CNN. Even having a baby hurts less. It was June 4th when she reached the CVS pharmacy at 3939 State Street, discovered she didn't have the piece of paper for the emergency room, telling her she was temporarily covered for the medication to treat her tooth infection. I only had about $4 on me. I simply broke down and cried. This incredibly warm pharmacist saw my agony and just engulfed me. That's when I heard her say softly with much kindness, "I'll cover it." That is so sweet to think about. Pharmacy technician Verena Harris then reached over the counter and swiped her own personal credit card and paid in full for the antibiotics. Lenny was beyond grateful. I can say with a great humble thanks how much I truly appreciate the kind, very generous offer from this perfect stranger. We asked Miss Harris, who worked at the pharmacy for 12 years, whether she had done this sort of thing before. She looked around the room with a wise, knowing look and then nodded her head, "Yeah." Some people just need help, she said. I can't watch someone in pain like that. We wanted to reimburse Verena for a lengthy prescription, which she said was about $15 or $20, yet she adamantly refused. Absolutely not, she repeated twice. That is wonderful, Melody. That is wonderful.
That's
sweet, good
is.
News. I mean, to see a fellow individual, a fellow human in that kind of pain, that can't afford that little bit of money. It wasn't much, $20. What's that today? But she didn't have it. And she reached across the counter and bought the medicine for her. That should be a good example for all of us. Folks, there are times all of us get a chance to do a kind deed. All of us get a chance from time to time. I'm going to share what happened years ago. I know it's nothing compared to this, but something I did. I was on my trip somewhere out west. I don't remember where. I think it was in Ohio somewhere. Went into a station. A guy had pumped his own fuel, and he overpumped what he had in his pocket. He couldn't pay for it. It wasn't much, $5 or $10. I paid it for him. I gave him my address. I don't know if I'd ever hear from him. I didn't really care if I got it back or not. I got it back, and he gave me an extra $10, whatever it was, put in there, and thanked me for it. That's no big deal. He's standing there. He's getting embarrassed. He's holding the line up. No way to pay for the gasoline. What would you do? You help the man out. You know?
Do you want to hear a funny story real quick?
What's that?
I was going to do that. I was in one of these, you know, gas stations and so forth, and I was standing in line, and there was somebody in front of me that was having issues with the payment, and all they had in front of them was like a loaf of bread or something like that, and it's like, you know what, hey, I'll pay for it. The lady looked up at me. She says, I don't think you really want to. And I was like, well, you know, it's all a little bit here. She says, her tab is over $100.
Oh,
I said, okay. She had some sort of a huge van or RV out in the gas station part, and they pumped it up and so forth and whatnot. So it's just like, okay.
Oh.
So be careful who you...
who you try that, yeah. Yeah.
Who you try to help. Yeah. Make sure you know the cost first.
Well, if you got $100 in spare, go ahead. If you can't, yeah, back. You may want to think about that a little bit. I agree. But the point of it is, if you can do a kindness, Melody, why not do it? If God's blessed you enough to take care of yourself, and with a little bit extra, why not pass on somebody else that can use it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are blessed, aren't we?
We are.
So, folks, don't forget that. I'll see you next week.
All right. Appreciate it. And we'll be back on Monday. So, folks, be safe out there this weekend. And until Monday and we're back, good night and God bless.
I have to pay. Pain is sad. And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a friend.